Did you ever think that your show would become something with such a cult following and that you would become such a star from this that people would just take to you?
No one in their right mind would have ever thought that, including me. I'm living proof that even a blind pig finds an acorn once in a while. You know, this has been a remarkable chain of events. I never would have suspected it would have gone to this.
Did people always find your kind of dry humor in the face of absolute tragedy entertaining? Were you able to use that to kind of keep people sane covering what you've covered?
Well, there's two options when you encounter emotional trauma. You can cry, you can laugh. Crying gets very old. Laughter tends to break the ice. It winds up being a gallows sense of humor, but it's more useful in terms of keeping everybody professional and focused.
I'm sure a lot of your fans are wondering, why now? Especially that your show has really picked up steam and people are obsessed with it.
Oh, I understand, but it's a simple reason. I have run out of cases that are tellable in a television format. What I have that remains are either too simple, we came, we saw, we arrested, or they're too disgusting. They involve children and babies, and I won't do that. And the network won't do that either. So we're left with wanting to go out on the top of my game and not be that player that played one season too long, or the singer that remained on the stage after they lost their voice. I don't want to do that.
Understandable. Of all of your cases, are there any that stick out in your mind that you find yourself thinking about more than others?
Every one of them does. To take a human life by means of violence is an incredible thing. Humans are the most dangerous animal on this planet. We've eliminated species from this planet. We now have the ability to eliminate life on Earth. We're dangerous. That's why wild animals run from us. They know what we are.
Are there any cases that you didn't solve that you wish you could have?
Every one. You can't get them all. I had 31 unsolved out of 387. We're down to 28 through advances in DNA. Three of those have been solved. Not by me, but by cold case unit after I departed. But you wish you had them all. You don't get them all. And somebody, not because somebody's a criminal genius, because they're not. They're just lucky. They don't leave evidence of their passing. Nobody sees them. Nobody hears them. They're not connected to the victim. It becomes impossible to find them in the mass of humanity.
What drove you through this? You had lots of sleepless nights, nights when,
sure,
you know, you had to leave your wife, you had to leave your children. What drove you to keep doing this very difficult work?
I took an oath. And it meant something to me. It wasn't a job, it was a mission. And I used to say to people, you kill, I'll find you. And I did, most of the time. I looked at it as a calling, not as employment.
I read that you were the first person to use DNA in Colorado.
In a prosecution, yes.
Okay. How do you think that DNA has kind of revolutionized crime solving?
Well, it has revolutionized it in many ways, but you must remember something as well, that there's a false promise attached to DNA in the fact that humans do it. And there are some people under arrest around the country who have altered DNA results in police laboratories to punish someone they thought should be punished. So it's something you have to consider. There's no magic. There's no magic as humans are involved. Mistakes get made, sometimes on purpose, sometimes by accident. So you still have to be cautious. But it is a remarkable device.
So it sounds like DNA isn't always the slam dunk on a case.
It can be, depending upon exactly the circumstances in which it was found. It's just like fingerprints. I come to you and I say, your fingerprints on the coffee table where the victim was found, and by God, how do you explain that? Well, I play cards here every Tuesday. There's no way to determine the age of a fingerprint. How long has it been there? 100 years or 100 minutes? So it just depends on the circumstances as to how valuable it is.
What's been the most rewarding part of your long career in homicide?
Finding the shadow in the night and giving him a first, middle, and last name and a date of birth. That's the most exciting.
What does it feel like when you interview someone and you have that aha moment because you know that this is the person?
Oh, it's euphoric. It's absolutely euphoric. After all the effort, all the work, all the loss of sleep, all the effort you put into this, and it's him, and it's nobody else.
What message do you have for your viewers as you depart and as they consider all of these cases that you've solved?
Hopefully they learned a little something about their fellow man and things not to do. Don't hang around in bars after midnight. Nothing good happens after midnight. Do not buy, sell, or use narcotics or associate with those who do. And try to marry well. Don't marry a psychotic. And the odds of you being the victim of violent crime are very small.
I watched one of the little vignettes where you were talking about transitioning to civilian life. Mm-hmm. And after Kathy said, that's it, this is your last case. Has it been difficult, and how have you managed to do it?
It took me 2 years to lose the venom. When I was working, everybody either hated me, or they were afraid of me, or both. Now everybody wants to be my friend. It's very weird. And it took a long time to adjust to that. And after those 2 years, I was sitting at my kitchen table, and my wife said, hi. I looked at her, and I said, in case you haven't been paying attention, I've been sitting here for 2 hours. She says, I know, but you're the guy I married again. Hey, that was very nice.
How has it been? Have you and Kathy been able to do some lighter activities and enjoy your retirement together?
Oh, absolutely. We travel. We go all over the world. We do a lot of things we could have never done had it not been for the magic of television and the income it provides. None of that would have happened. Not that it would have mattered to me. If I was concerned about money, I wouldn't have been a policeman. You know, this is just a windfall. It happens to come my way. And I didn't go looking for them. They came looking for me.
Do you know how they found you?
I do. I was appeared on a national news program with Diane Sawyer, and I was on her program Turning Point, talking about murder for about 30 minutes, and they played all 30 minutes on national television. And that was an exposure moment when somebody saw it and said, who's that guy? And one thing led to another.
They must have found you entertaining like your audience does.
Apparently so, yes. Who would have thunk it? But here we are. Of course, I know, that's crazy. It really is crazy. People talk to me about my voice, and when you first time you ever hear your voice on a recording, it's very odd because it doesn't sound like you because your voice to you sounds different than it does to everybody else. So when the show was first on TV, here's my face and the screen startled me. The whole screen's my face. Oh, my God. Then I spoke, and I looked at my wife and I said, do I sound like that? She said, well, yeah, I've been married to you for 40 years. That's your voice. But it just doesn't sound that way to me. But everyone else says I have this voice that they like or that they find distinctive or whatever.
As a radio person, I totally understand. I said, that's not me. I don't sound like that.
I know. Because it's in your own head, so you don't realize what it sounds like to other people. But I've had people with their back turned and said, that's Joe Kenda's voice, and turn around looking for me.
It's very distinctive.
Apparently.
Has it been super bizarre to just now go from someone who was fighting crimes and, you know, you obviously did some press conferences, but was it odd to become catapulted into the public eye to have people taking pictures of you like you're a rock star?
Oh, absolutely. It was very difficult to adjust to at first. It still is a little difficult, but it's better than it was. But initially, it was embarrassing. You want me to? What do you want me to have my autograph for? I just thought it was so weird because I'd never experienced it before.
I remember one episode where you were painting. Do you still do that now that you're retired?
I still do on occasion. I do drawings with Indi ink and pencil. That's what I like to do. I haven't done it lately because we've been so busy. But, you know, even though Homicide Hunter is ending, a new series begins soon on IDs with starring me. So, you know, I'm not really retiring. I'm just changing a little bit.
Anything else you want people to know as you end this chapter, prepare to start the next?
No, I appreciate, and it has been my honor to entertain everyone.